Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Worship Him this evening. Pour your affection to the Lord. Love Him this evening. Be deliberate about it. Love Him. Go ahead and just honor Him this evening. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you. We magnify your name. Even tonight, Father, we ask that you bless us again with your word and your presence. Take all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Unless I forget, Happy New Month and welcome to the month of November. This month is a special month. The Holy Ghost told me He would begin to equip us, equip the body of Christ from this month for the days to come. There's a lot of spiritual equipping that is necessary in this month to bring us that fortification that is required for 2023 and 2024. Those are strange years. And for those who have prophetic insight, you know it's not a casual year where you just relax. In fact, last night while we were in the place of prayer, the Lord began to talk to me extensively about next year. And He said, this month, He would open us up to a syllabus, spiritual syllabus, that will form the first layer of equipping. And so He said, this month is a month of spiritual knowledge. He's going to be teaching us and giving us strategic knowledge. Because next month, next year, there'll be judgment. Next year, there will be need for invincibility for the church. Because as evil men will be judged, believers who are also not equipped might be victims. And so it's necessary to have strategic knowledge, strategic insight into the things of the Spirit. And so I'll just do a brief introduction of what spiritual knowledge is tonight. And then for the subsequent service or services we'll be having, I'll take out time to deal with different mysteries in the kingdom that will help bring us to that place of strategic advantage. Praise the Lord. And so this evening, I'll be dealing with the subject of spiritual knowledge. And then we'll do the different kinds of knowledge and mysteries that we have in the kingdom. Ah, there's a song that is in my spirit now. I don't know if my voice can carry it. Oh Lord, we give you praise. From our hearts, we bless your name. Carissa, can you help us?
You are worthy. That's right. Of my praise, and to you the song we raise.
Oh Lord,
for our life we bless you, praise. From my heart we bless your name. You are worthy of my praise, and to you the song we raise. Yeah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We will sing that song again. There's a height I will sing it from. We will sing that song again. That song will take us somewhere. It came from far into my spirit. It came from far. Sit down. I just want us to know it so that we don't forget. Precious Lord. Spiritual knowledge. I'll just define what spiritual knowledge is and the nature of spiritual knowledge. You know, knowledge is deeper than facts. When you are dealing with knowledge in the realm of reality, is one of the most hallowed things you can find in the spirit. In fact, knowledge is one of the most guarded reality in the spirit. Because spirits understand the place of knowledge, a lot of clearance is required before you are permitted to access knowledge. Knowledge in the spirit is so mystical that you can read the words, but the knowledge will be withdrawn. Because knowledge is not information. Information is what you come about when you interact with coordinated words to bring you a kind of enlightenment about the subject matter. But you see, knowledge in the spirit is deeper than just having some form of enlightenment. You know, in the natural realm, if I tell you this is a room, I've just given you an idea that this is an enclosed place. But in the spirit, when you are told this is a room, everything a room represents begins to happen to you. If we were under the sun or under the rain, and they say room, and they bring you access to that understanding of room, you will be under a shelter immediately. The room will begin to play what it represents. So the information can enlighten you about, but knowledge in the spirit is reality. And so it's deep. That's why you can tell somebody about a spiritual thing, he may never possess it. He may even talk about it, but he will never have it. Because spiritual knowledge is a reality. And so there is a protocol deeper than just hearing for you to apprehend knowledge. You can come about information by hearing, but you cannot have spiritual knowledge by just hearing. I can talk to you about power. You will know everything about power, but you don't have power, because power is knowledge. And so the information may be available to you, but the knowledge will be kept away from you, because you need much more than hearing to access knowledge. And so God telling us it's a month of knowledge means much more than just coming to know about things. By the time knowledge opens to us, we will become custodians of spiritual realities. And so different gates will be opening to us in this season, because God has said it's a month of knowledge, because we'll be stepping into realities. But just for the purpose of teaching, let me tell you four cadres of knowledge, so you can understand what I mean when I talk about information. You know, one of the first times in scriptures where the word knowledge was used, it represented something much more than information. And I'm going to come into that as I begin to teach. But in order not to go ahead of myself, let me just show you four cadres of knowledge, so you will know what we are talking about, and you will position your heart to receive knowledge. A lot of persons have information, they don't have knowledge. And so in this month, one of the things God wants to do graciously is to make available knowledge to us as a people. We will not be receiving information, we'll be receiving realities. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible said Adam knew his wife. You now understand that knowing is deeper than information. He said Adam knew his wife. That statement is a very deep statement. And the proof that that statement is deep is that the product of that knowledge is another life. Life came out from knowledge. That means life is embedded in knowledge. What you call life is encased in knowledge. The shield of life and death is knowledge. In fact, the first reality you will find in knowledge is life and death, because knowledge is not information. The first time knowledge was used in scripture was when God was talking to Adam, and it was a warning. He said, of all the trees that are in this garden, eat freely. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. If you eat it, you will have something deeper than information. You will die. Because death hides inside knowledge. Life also hides inside knowledge. It's not information. And so the first time Adam knew his wife, he didn't get sets of information. It was life that came out. Because the casing of life and death is a reality called knowledge. And so when you begin to interact with knowledge, you will find out that there are four cadres of knowledge. And the lowest cadre of knowledge is mental knowledge. Mental knowledge only furnishes information. It has no power. Meanwhile, I was telling them in the prayer meeting yesterday, see the labor we put into acquiring physical knowledge. When you were born, they started telling you papa. And they will use 1 year to learn papa. When you finish learning that, they take you to crèche or kindergarten. And they give you a slate. And they write A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H to Z. And you will recite it. You don't even know what it is yet. But just know the letters. Then they will start teaching you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 10. And then from that, you can build 20 into 30, 40. And then when you start reciting it, you say 1, 3, 7, 10, 9. You are just calling things. And then you build into primaries, you build into secondary, you build into university. When you now graduate, they now say you are a doctor. That knowledge gives you a title. That's physical knowledge. Physical knowledge has the capacity of giving you a title. In fact, if you call yourself a doctor, or you attach PhD to your name, and you didn't acquire it academically, or it was not given to you honorarily, you'll be arrested. You are a fraudster. To show you that even in the natural, knowledge has some level of credibility that it puts on people. There are many things you can't call yourself because vested in those titles are knowledge requirements. Meanwhile, that is the lowest form of knowledge because there is no way physical knowledge can produce life. And so when you start dealing with knowledge, there are four cadres. The first cadre of knowledge is what we call gnosis. And gnosis is the ability to form meaning out of coordinated words. And the meanings that are allocated to those coordinated words, we can now use it to regulate our dealings. So if you and I agree that come means to approach, anytime we use come, we will approach. So we have attributed a meaning to those words put together and coordinated. All of that is what you call gnosis. And that kind of knowledge helps to facilitate human interaction. Human interaction will not be possible except as gnosis is in place. So the reason I can understand you, the reason we can communicate emotions, the reason we can collaborate together to achieve something is because there is a form of mental block that has been created, embedded in which certain kinds of understanding is planted to help us relate and to carry out suitable and profitable existence. That kind of knowledge is not potent enough to have a place among spirits. Because spirits don't need words to talk. In fact, the reason spirits use words is because they are talking with men. If mortals are out of the context, spirits will stop talking. Because in their realm, there are deeper spheres of communication. In the realm of spirits, they can traffic reality through thoughts. And so if I look at you, I read your heart. And you read my heart. So we are communicating by corresponding heart postures. That's why if your heart is not pure, you can't do business among spirits. Because when you are talking and your words contradict your heart, the spirit will be trafficking both your words and your heart. So it will become difficult for that spirit to relate with you. That's why I say, who shall stand in the hill of the Lord? There has to be a purity here. So that you can collaborate with spirits. So the first kind of knowledge is gnosis. It's mental knowledge. And, what price you need to pay to acquire that knowledge. I studied for many years before I had the opportunity to be shown chemical reactions. Chemical reactions. They show you do some set of apparatus and show you how chemicals react to produce very strange things. So many years to arrive there. Meanwhile, that does not have an implication in my eternal destiny. But even at that, it took years. Wearing white lab coat, you are walking like a wise man. Meanwhile, all of this, your wise, coordinated work has no impact on eternity. Eternity. But that's a level of knowledge. Now, this is what many people brag with. They say they are atheists. They are using gnosis to argue in reality. And some say God does not exist. When the immortals look at them, they will pity them for two reasons. The first reason is because they are talking from a finite reality. And they are talking to an infinite reality from a finite realm. The person you are saying does not exist. It's already in tomorrow. Now, you will approach tomorrow and discover a new thing altogether. The person is still constant. You will be changing. Because the day your soul leaves your body, you now discover everything you know in your brain can't cross over. That's the burden of the wise fool. He said, I don't care about God. He gathered his band and said, now my soul will rest. They now ask him, do you know the meaning of soul? Since you say the soul is your own, now soul come. His soul now left his body. His soul betrayed him. And his soul arrived at another reality. And the reality his soul came to, on the strength of the knowledge he was working with, all he had was a pit. A pit where test wanted to kill him. And he was looking for one drop. How did all of a sudden a man that had more than enough became a pauper in another reality? So much so that he was looking for a drop of water. Meanwhile, the being that he was arguing with is still where he is. Yesterday, you were rich. You say you will rest. Today, you are poor. You are looking for a drop of water. And this thing that looks as if it was yesterday and today are eons apart. Because they had changed, they tweaked the reality. Those who really have knowledge. So the weakest form of knowledge is mental knowledge. Now, if you live your life from there, Paul said, you are of all men most miserable. He said, if only in this life we have hope. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. He said, we are of all men most miserable. So those who operate at the level of idol are miserable men. In case you are looking for who a miserable man is, he's not a man without money. He's a man without eternal knowledge. You are of all men most miserable. But in case you want to interact with a kind of knowledge that will not change even after you leave your body, then welcome to class. Because the second level of knowledge is called idol. Idol. Idol is not necessarily cumulative knowledge. Idol is awareness. This kind of knowledge, what it does is that it makes you to come alive to realities that are superior to your mind. You become aware. It was always there. You didn't know about it. So in the context of idol, you are not really very powerful, but you are just aware that there are realms beyond the natural. There are realities beyond what you can see and touch. Now, there are many Christians who are living at the realm of idol. Let me show you a few scriptures. You know, this awareness, your brain can't bring it to. There is no way your brain can make you become aware. It's not possible. Because these are dimensional realities. For example, you can't be by your brain become aware that an angel is attached to you to support you in destiny. There's no way. There's no laboratory you can enter to become aware. It is by the agency of the Holy Spirit that idol is furnished. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Yeah. Hey. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. The word know, there is the word idol. The things that are freely given to us by God. So, becoming aware of God and the things God has made available to you is an operation of the Holy Spirit in the realms of knowledge. The reason a soul came to Christ is not because you preach fine. The reason somebody accepted Jesus is because while you were talking, the Holy Ghost was working in the person's heart. What happened to that person is idol. Ask him tomorrow, he won't remember your sermon. So the reason he gave his heart to Christ is not the intelligibility of your sermon. That's why even when God sends us, we humble ourselves. Because we know that what happens to the people is not English language. It's idol that took place. And so when you begin to understand how these things work, before you talk to somebody about Jesus, you will pray for the Holy Ghost to talk to the person. Because if you become proud that you now have skill or you are intelligent, this message I've cooked, there's no way you will hear it and refuse. When you are teaching, they would sleep. Or if they don't sleep, when you are teaching, they will now be irritated. You won't know why you are talking and they are irritated. Because if the Holy Ghost doesn't adore them, another spirit will adore them. So they will be seeing other things that is far from what you are saying. This is where spirits have the authority to manipulate humankind. Because they have the power to make you become aware of realities that are outside your mind. It's the second realm of knowledge. And it's a spiritual knowledge because it takes the quickening of the Holy Ghost to become aware. A story was told of an evangelist. In fact, this is not fiction. It was Benihim that was traveling with the interpreter. The interpreter had interpreted for the evangelist for, I think, 24 years. I've forgotten the exact number of years. And when he was driving, because when Benihim visited the country, he also was given the opportunity to interpret for Benihim. And so when he was taking Benihim to the airport and they were dialoguing. Benihim now asked him, when did he enter into a love relationship with Jesus? He said he doesn't know that. He's not pretending relationship with Jesus Christ. Benihim almost fell in the car. You have been interpreting for this mighty evangelist for more than 24 years. You have been interpreting the altar call. People have been coming to do altar calls. Some weep and repent. Others, you see miracles. And you mean you have not received the life of God? He said no. He was so casual about it. And Benihim was shocked. How come? He said no. Well, he felt what they were doing, they were just doing what they wanted. I mean, the awkwardness of the answer shows that if a spirit doesn't help you, there's no way you can gain knowledge. I'm not talking about somebody who visited, the interpreter who is saying what the evangelist is saying. In fact, it's what he's saying that others heard and repented. But he was never aware. There was no quickening. So when God begins to upgrade you into knowledge, the first thing he will do, which is the first cadre in spiritual knowledge, is that he begins to give you awareness. Awareness, however, does not have the power to bring you the investment of knowledge. Because the investment of knowledge is reality. You can be aware, but you cannot be in possession. You may not be in possession. All awareness does is that he acquaints you that these things are available and they are real. But it takes deeper knowledge to apprehend them. Let me give you another scripture on idol. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13, John was writing to people that believe. And this is what he said. He said, this is the record that God had given us eternal life. And he said, this life is in his Son. And he went further. He said, he that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son had not life. And he now said something. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may become aware that you have eternal life. How can people believe in the name of the Son of God, but they are not aware of eternal life? That means they accepted Jesus. The message was logical, but eternal life was never real to them. So John was looking for a technology by the Holy Spirit to create a quickening in them. Because if he doesn't do this, they will become religious men. That's why you see many people praying. They are not aware of what prayer is. You see many people fasting. They are not aware of what fasting is. Many people give. They are not aware. And because they are not aware, the reality will not be delivered to them. So the more they do it, the more weary they will become. So a man prays and he gets so weary from praying. Prayer becomes a burden because he can't touch the reality that is in prayer. In fact, he's wondering how somebody else prays and is so invigorated. Even when he tries to do it, even himself knows his flesh. After a while, his joints, the pains will be much. He will know that this reality is not given. Somebody is fasting and dies. He has the religious, consciousness that this should be done. But the actual reality in the spirit, he doesn't know it. There are people who are giving, and the more they give, the poorer they become. Not because God is trying them, not because they are in the middle of warfare. They don't just know how to deliver on the reality that is tied to it. Because spiritual knowledge is not there. There's not awareness. So until awareness comes, the doorway for reality to traffic cannot open. And I know these things by experience. In the earlier days of ministry, we didn't know how spiritual things work. And of course, we are still learning. I can assure you that all we know is still kindergarten. But we are not where we used to be. But we didn't know nothing at all. And so what we hoped was that if we come and talk, God will not allow himself to be disgraced. So God must do something. That was when we discovered God cannot be disgraced. Because at the end of the day, when you try to put God in a fix, the best God can do for you is to send you to go back to know how it is done. He's too big for you to manipulate him. How many of you have been there? The Holy Ghost is trying to teach you how healing works. You now come for a meeting somewhere. You say, God will not deny himself. You rot heap on the cripple. You jack him up, the cripple will fall down. You will say, God, the God I serve, he cannot lie. You will jack the person, he will fall down. After a while, you will step back. Because it takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. If you have the knowledge, it's natural. You are a commander. Because knowledge is reality. But first, you must become aware. That knowing just comes to you. And you are so sure, as if it's your name. Then you know that the Holy Ghost is doing something. Now, the reason I'm teaching this tonight is to show you the 5 gateways to accessing spiritual knowledge. But I need to let you know what spiritual knowledge is first. So that as I teach on these gateways, you will know how to apply your heart to it until God begins to open you up to knowledge. Idol. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. It says, all things are passed away. That is the truth, but it may not be true for your life. He now used the word, he said, behold. The word behold is the word become aware that all things have become new. If you don't become aware that all things have become new, even though all things are passed away, you will still be living in the old. That's why many people are victims of what Christ has already paid for. All things are passed away, but they are not yet aware. Have you been there before when you are looking for your comb? And after you sweat and labor, you now discover you were holding the comb in your hand all the while. You can never comb that hair. The comb is in your hand, but you are not aware. That's what he was saying in this scripture. All things actually are passed away. But for you to walk in the new, you must become aware. So, he's just showing you the excellency of knowledge. That the things you have, you can suffer from the lack of it. Not because it's not there, but because it's there, you are not aware. And so, the second cadre of spiritual knowledge is the realm of awareness. But you see, as beautiful as awareness is, it doesn't have the power to deliver unto you the things that are available to you. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, he said, "Know ye not that he that joins himself to a harlot is one with that harlot?" So somebody is supposed to deliver harlots, but he is deep into immorality. He went further to say, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So a reality can be there, but you can be a slave of it. Even when you become aware, if you don't go deeper in knowledge, you can't handle reality. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we heard," that's the first level. They were aware of it, but they didn't stop there. It was from the beginning. A point came, they became aware, so they heard of it. He said, but they didn't stop there. He said, "We looked upon it," and he said, "We handled of the word of life." Now that we have both looked upon and handled, he said, "We have now the authority to bring you into that fellowship." So there are many who have heard, there are many who are aware, but they've not looked upon and they've not handled. And so after Idol, you must journey in knowledge until you come to the third cadre. The third cadre is called epignosis. Epignosis is experience. You are not just aware of it, but now you have become a participator. So beyond what you have heard, now you too have handled. If you come to the level of knowledge where you can handle, then you can become productive in God's kingdom. And so mental knowledge is not what God is dealing with, and it's not what God is looking for in a believer. Awareness is good, but God wants much more than that. God is looking for participators. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, the Bible said, according as his divine power, he said, he has given unto us all things that pertaineth to life and to godliness. He said, but there is a clause. It is through the epignosis. It is through the participation. It is through the experiencing that we will begin to handle all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So God is inviting us into participation. And that's why I told you that the heaviest molecule of existence is intimacy. If you have not participated, you don't know what you are talking about. And the devil is looking not for those who are aware, but those who are participators. That's why when you talk, he wants to try you. Because it is in trial that you can tell who has experienced. The man who is aware of can talk until crisis comes. The man who is aware of can talk until trials come. You can find 10 believers all giving. Some are giving religiously. Others are giving because they are hoping things will happen. Others are giving because their parents taught them to give. It is only few that give by revelation. And the way you will know is that when there is a financial crisis, the one who knows it by revelation will give in and out of season. The one who is giving because it's a religious activity, he will come back to his mind and begin to replan, re-strategize, and restructure, because this giving did not come from experience. He has not handled that reality. In fact, in many African countries today, people are going back to African religion because they brought an awareness to them. They didn't teach them how to participate. And after doing it for a while, they now discovered what their forefathers gave them was more productive than what they told them in church. So they are going back. In fact, now that there is crisis in certain territories, there is a state in Nigeria where there was a massive exodus into the kingdom. And this is the problem that pastors bring to church and to the body of Christ. Evangelism is important, but evangelism stops at awareness. Discipleship is what takes you beyond awareness to epignosis. If you evangelize people and you stop there, now that they've come to the kingdom, and all you are teaching them now is what God can give, they will now see God as an object they can use for their self and for their pleasure. If you leave them at that level, you have caused more harm than good. And so when people were won into church or brought into church, the next thing they started teaching them prosperity. Give, it shall be given unto you. Do this, do that. They didn't teach them how to walk with God and know the ways of God. And so as crisis began to invade those cities, they discovered this God that you people spoke about eloquently is not protecting us like some of the equipments that we threw away. So they are going back now to call ancient sorcerers, the last ones who are still alive. Because as they rejected those sorcerers, most of them died of hunger. So now in some states, they are going to beg and appease sorcerers. You are the only one who know how to conjure the power of this idol. Please don't be angry with your people. Come back. And the person will now say, where did you people keep me 25 years, for the past 25 years? So they will bring goat, bring cow to appease the man. They will now bring the man back as a king. And the first thing he will do is to select people and teach them first. So in some states in Nigeria now, they are awakening and activating idols. Because when the herdsmen came, they discovered church has no solution. When poverty came, they discovered church had no solution. Because out of our greed as pastors, we just lured people to do things. We didn't teach them how to walk with God until they know God for themselves. And because offering is increasing, church auditorium is full, we are excited. We didn't go through the rigor of teaching them how to know God. And so now that poverty has come, they need to go back to the fertility God and bring all the oblations needed for that God to prosper them. They need to go back to the God of thunder that protected them in 1930 when they were fighting the war to get their land. Because we didn't teach them how to know God. I can assure you that less than 5% of Christians in church today know God experientially. Spiritual knowledge is scarce. All we are doing is charisma, excitement, stirring people up. And because crisis has not come, you will not know those who are planted on the rock. And so very few have experience. When you have experience, the sign is that you don't walk with God for what God gives. You walk with God for who He is. And so you can say like Esther, if I perish, I perish. That's a man who has come into epignosis. He has participated. He can no longer deny it. Did you not read about Daniel? They were about to throw him into the lion's den. He prayed. God didn't show up. He said, I can't deny. I wish I'm able to deny, but I know too much to be able to deny. And he was thrown to the den of lions. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were to be thrown into the fire, they say, oh king, we'll not be careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow. That means what we know now is deeper than life. Death can no longer intimidate us to back down. God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we are standing with him. We know him too well to deny him. That kind of knowledge is called epignosis. If you have not come there, you may not really be a Christian. And so, they are cadres to knowledge. The fourth level of knowledge is called ginosko. Ginosko is also like epignosis. The only difference between ginosko and epignosis is that ginosko is a kind of participation that produces offspring. And so in John 17 verse 3, it says, this is life eternal, that you may ginosko him, the only true God, and him whom he has sent. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, he said, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God, that we know the things that are freely given to us by God. Verse 14, he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the spiritual man who can produce result from spiritual things knows spiritual things experientially. And so a knowledge that produces offspring is called ginosko. So, you know, it's not every experience that has offspring. But every time an experience leaves an offspring as a memorial, that kind of experience is called ginosko. It's experience at another level. And so knowledge has four cadres. You have gnosis, which is mental knowledge. You have eidos, which is an awareness of a reality but you have not handled. And then you have epignosis, which is the actual experience of that reality. And then you have ginosko, which is an experience that sustains a memoria. Now, it's important for us to understand the nature of knowledge, having explained the cadres of knowledge. So, when knowledge comes to you, you can isolate it and you can define it that this one is truly spiritual knowledge. Because every spiritual knowledge has a nature. And so, I give you three nature or essence of spiritual knowledge very quickly as we proceed. The first thing that characterizes spiritual knowledge is that spiritual knowledge, like I said from the beginning, is not informative. It is life or death oriented. When you touch spiritual knowledge, the proof is that a kind of life will emerge. If it is of God. But if it is not of God, a kind of debt will begin to emerge. This is why we teach innocent believers. The songs you hear and the things you see, they are capsules of debt. The spirits are intelligent. So what they do is that they look for the resonance posture of a generation. There's a generation that loves speed and high energy. So when they are able to discern the frequency at which that generation resonates, they now create different conveyors of death through knowledge and they channel it on that frequency. And so every music that is high, you know, there used to be a time where jazz was reigning. Jazz. And so people, they will be playing it. When they hit the crescendo, everybody becomes like a mad person. Now, they will leave that place and go and divorce. They will leave that place and go and kill. They will leave that place and become reckless and run into ghastly accidents. They didn't know that that music was piping recklessness. They didn't know that music was piping death. So the substance of that music is not the sound. The sound is a conveyor. And they have understood through demonic intelligence that that frequency of sound is what moves that generation. So they pump all their power and realities through that economy. And as it touches the generation, touches the people, you will find death littered everywhere. It's an intelligence of spirits. Everything that carries knowledge or intelligence is a conveyor of life or death. So the first nature of knowledge is that knowledge is a conveyor of life and death. In fact, you don't have knowledge because you have information. You have knowledge because you have life. And you have knowledge because you have death. If you have not touched life, or if you have not touched death, you don't have knowledge. In the realm of the spirit, you are an illiterate. You can recite all the principles. When you finish talking, they are finding if you have been able to touch life on this particular corridor. If I'm talking about giving, for example, a spirit is not moved that my exegesis is correct. But they want to find out if I deploy this, my knowledge of giving, what result will it produce? Will God be honored? Will God be glorified? And will it produce a harvest? So they will be watching. So somebody can come and give out of pride. They know he doesn't know giving. It's an illiterate in the corridor of giving because that is giving does not ascribe honor to God. It ascribes honor to self. That giving produces ego. So that's not the kind of giving. Even though he did it in a church way, it's not God's kind of giving. Because the spirit will be checking the result that giving will produce. If he gives, the spirit wants to find out, let's watch if there will be a harvest. If that guy gives and miraculously something else happens on account of that giving, the spirit knows this man understands this subject. And so what he wants to do now will be to attack his faith around that subject because he knows he's not just talking. He has knowledge. So spiritual knowledge is either life or it is death. And so any dimension of truth that you sustain or ascribe to, if it doesn't produce life, you don't know it. And if it is in darkness, if it doesn't produce death, you don't know it. So the first nature of knowledge is that knowledge is life and knowledge is death. And so in Genesis 2:17, he said, don't touch this fruit. This fruit is called, this tree is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you touch it, you will not know something, no. You will die. If it is about knowing something only, we can reformat your brain. But if you touch it, if you eat it, you will die. The result of this knowledge is death. The man thought it was a joke. When he eventually ate it, the immortals gathered again and say, now the man has taken from this tree and eaten and has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He said, therefore, he must be sent out of the garden before he goes to touch the tree of life. That means knowledge is life or death. If the man touched the tree of life, he will be carrying life and death at the same time. And that cannot happen. It's against the law of creation. Life and death can't coexist. Just the way light and darkness cannot coexist. So what the immortals did was to quickly expel him from the presence of God. You have touched it. You don't know something. Now you will die. So the foundation of death is knowledge. The foundation of life is knowledge. So when you are exploring knowledge, your goal should not be what you come back to quote. Your goal should be the quality of life you exude, because that is the testimony that you have made contact with that knowledge. Number two, the nature of knowledge or the essence of knowledge is that knowledge is the seal of glory and is also the seal of shame. You know, spiritual things is hard to explain. There is a knowledge you will come into now. Suddenly people will look at you. They will start respecting you differently. They won't know why. And there's a knowledge you will come into. People will look at you. And your life will just become a reproach. No matter how you try to package, they'll say, forget it. That one has nothing. Because knowledge is the capsule of glory in the spirit realm. Hope you know, when Adam touched that tree, there was never a place in the Bible when they said, this man now has information. If you check scriptures, the way the immortals were judging this matter, it was never about information. The first thing they said was that, you will die. The second thing they now said was, for all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:23. So the moment that man entered another kind of knowledge, something happened. He became naked. Because what covered him was glory. So knowledge is a covering in the spirit. And that covering is a glory, is a garment of glory. And so when a man begins to go deeper in the knowledge of God, he will not increase in information. It's only a baby that thinks information is powerful. In the realm of the spirit, it's not. The reason information is powerful among men is because men are naturally illiterate. Truth is hid from men. So when you say something, the reason you feel powerful is because others don't know it. If you come to the realm of spirit, that thing you are saying, everybody knows it. So nobody will be moved. But when you come, they want to check how much glory do you carry. They will check your brightness. Your brightness is the sign that you carry something that others don't carry. It's a seal in the spirit. It's a seal. And the moment Adam touched the knowledge he was not supposed to touch, he discovered he was naked. Glory had gone. And he hid himself. When God showed up, he was ashamed. He was afraid because he touched another knowledge. That means if he kept the knowledge that was given to him, he would have walked in honor as a prince. So if you are looking for glory in this life, you need knowledge. Not information, knowledge. If your knowledge of God begins to increase on your job, your your honor level will increase. Your glory level will increase. You will not, the people will not know what is happening. Meanwhile, they know this in darkness. You are coming for a board of directors meeting, and you throw with suit and tie. Another person went and slept in the grave. And two of you came into the office. All of you are wearing ash color suit. But the moment that guy talks, everybody keeps quiet. You don't know why everybody is afraid. His words came with weight and suppressed every other person. You'll be so terrified to talk. In fact, some of the wise men in darkness, what they do is, when they are going out for campaign, they will carry some things from some strange quarters. Give them, they will chew it. They will now come. You will mobilize to come and attack them. When they stand up and talk for 5 minutes, everybody will say, it's okay, it's okay. This man is a good man. Let's follow this man. He knows it's not what he said, it's what he chewed. And then the moment he enters office, the scale will fall off everybody's eyes. And they are saying, how did we elect this person? You voted for him. You were sweating and shouting and saying, we no go agree. Hope you know this same thing happening in this country. Some of us here, we are guilty. We had darkness. If you know how many of you fought for this government 8 years ago, some of you quarreled. What do you mean? This is the only change we are looking for. Here we are. Welcome to the real change. People who know, have knowledge. They were doing business in deeper waters. You carry your medical knowledge. Doctor, you are a doctor. You are dealing with paracetamol. You now stand and say, come on, I'm a learned man. I know what is right from wrong. Who told you know? After 8 years, you now know that you are dwarfed. That where true knowledge is, medical science is kindergarten. Some came and said, listen, I'm a barrister. I know the law. I am a barrister. After they chewed things and spoke, others said, listen, I'm not a small boy. Look at my face. I'm 60 years old. I know what is good when I see it. We mobilized ourselves, voted. Hi. Spiritual illiteracy. You needed to see the Nigerians that were sitting in front of TV, collating result. They were collating. Before they announced it, people were already uploading the results everywhere. You needed to see the jubilation. In fact, the only thing Goodluck Jonathan did that made people not to kill him was when he came to concede. They now say he's lucky. Let's forgive him. Now our Messiah has come. Receive your Messiah in a white garment. It's called knowledge. Knowledge. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can read 10 encyclopedias, you are still an illiterate. Because there they conjure the souls of men. They manipulate the souls of men. It's deeper than information. So life and death is in knowledge. Glory and reproach is also in knowledge. And finally, access and authority level is also in knowledge. There's a knowledge you touch now, you will gain certain access. Don't manipulate. Just have knowledge. There's a knowledge you will have now. If you sing here, it will take 6 months for your itinerary to be free. There's a knowledge you will have. You will just share something for 5 minutes. People will be looking for you everywhere. They just want you to come and stand where they are standing. So instead of manipulating and cutting corners, seek the true knowledge that comes from the realms of light. When you touch it, you have authority. The moment Adam touched the knowledge of evil, he was driven from the company of the cherubims. That means what kept him there was the knowledge he was working with. As he touched the forbidden knowledge, it became impossible for him to operate as a prince among other princes in the realm of God. In fact, a cherub stood with a flaming sword turning on either side. contending with the guy. You can't come close, I will kill you. And he ran for his life. Meanwhile, he was also a dominion. He operated in that level of authority before, but when he fell. Have you seen a man who is caught in immorality? The wife will now slap him. That man that used to stand like this will now say, sorry, sorry. Because he has entered a forbidden quarter. His authority is gone. If he dare says, I'm the head there, they will shoot him. Even him knows that he can't invoke headship there because he has lost it. He went the way, the wrong path. Wrong. So knowledge imparts life. Knowledge imparts glory. And knowledge imparts authority. And so when you want to find a man who has knowledge, don't be moved by who is talking. English is cheap. Find out how much glory he carries. Find out how much authority he carries. And find out the kind of life he emits. There are people who, they speak to you, you are quickened. You just know that, this is beyond English. When he spoke, I was invigorated. Because a man who has life, a man who has glory, and a man who has access, when he is emitting knowledge, he is equally emitting that life, that level of access, and that level of authority. That's why you are edified when you interact with him, because that's what he carries. And if he violates those codes, he will lose that knowledge. And equally, if he loses that knowledge, he will lose that authority. He will lose that glory, and he will lose that honor. See, I wish I have time. I wish it was a healing service. I would have explained a few things to you about sickness and spirit. Sickness was not the plan of spirit. Even though the devil is wicked, what the devil wanted to do to humanity was to bring humanity to reproach, so that man will also suffer the condemnation that he suffers. If it that way, he is dealing with God, because God loves man. So as man will fall and man will be brought to judgment, God will be pained. That's what the devil wants to gain. To get God's heart broken. Deuteronomy 32 verse 9 says, the lost portion is his people. So if he makes the man rebel against God and God has to punish the man, God will be pained. It's just like killing your own son. There's nothing that hurts a father like being the one to have to kill his son in order to receive atonement. So the devil knew the protocol. So he wanted to afflict God with so much pain. That's why he made humanity fall. And that's why on the cross, God turned his back. And Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That was what the devil wanted to achieve. A pain that God can never forget. That he has to kill his son. And then the second thing the devil wants to achieve was to dethrone man, because it looked as if man was the one that took his place. Because he was the dominion in charge of the earth realm. After he fell, the earth was willed to man. In fact, the reason the first earth was destroyed was because the first lord of the earth had been judged. So that civilization can no longer exist, because every dominion rules over his territory. And if you don't destroy that territory will still carry his DNA. That's how it works. Because I'm the one preaching over this place, after 2 years, you'll be shocked that many people here will either begin to dress like me, talk like me, or the same spiritual things that happened to me will start happening to them. It's a natural thing, because the person who pretends over a territory imparts his seal over that territory. And so when the devil was destroyed, the earth had to be judged. If you study Jeremiah 24, I think from verse 3 to 4, you will find that the earth was destroyed because of judgment. You see that? So, two things the devil wanted to achieve was to steal from man his authority and dominion, so that man will be judged. And also to hurt the heart of God so much, because if he wants to redeem man, himself will die. The pain that God will feel, that's what the devil was looking for. However, things like sicknesses became byproduct, because when the devil was judged, something happened. The glory they carried was their covering. And so these demons were princes at different cadres. The cadre they have are different levels. The glory they carry are different levels, because garment in the spirit is glory. And so when God judged them and glory was withdrawn from them, those of them who were lower in rank, the layer of glory they carried was stripped of them. So they became disembodied. That's why they were called demons. Hope you know, when Adam fell, the Bible said he was naked. Glory was his covering. But the reason Adam was not disembodied was because he was a high cherub. He was a dominion. So the glory he carried was much. So even though glory was withdrawn from him, he still maintained his body. But if Adam was a lower messenger, he would have lost his body. Because when God judged the demons, something happened. Those of them who were principalities, who you call fallen angels, they lost their glory, but they kept their bodies. But those who were messengers, because they didn't have so much glory in the first place, when the glory left them, they became disembodied. So what they do is that they are looking for hosts. So what you call sickness is actually a spirit taking host in a man. So the nature of that spirit impacts that man. And they, based on their glory and their rank, that's also what defines the kind of body they occupy. If you are not of a higher glory, you can't occupy a man. That's why some spirits occupy animals. They don't have enough glory to control man. Man is a superior machine, so they can't rule man. So the spirits who don't have enough glory to possess man, they possess animals. And then those who don't have enough glory before they fell to possess animals, they possess little creatures. All the little creatures that are seemingly unseen, like viruses, like germs. That's what they possess, like flies. So what they possess is dependent on the level of glory they had before they fell. So those who didn't have so much glory, they occupy miniature creatures, like flies, like germs. And because they occupy them, when they make contact with you, their nature is transferred. So the doctor calls it a virus, because that's where his knowledge reached. Those who have understanding in life knows that it is the nature of a demon imparted through the agency of an innocent creature that is in bondage. That's why I said creation is in bondage, a bondage called the bondage of corruption. So if a mosquito, a virus touches you, it cannot but transfer the nature of that demon. And then the demons who are able to possess men, when they enter them, they oppress them at a higher level. You call this schizophrenia. The truth is that they don't know what it means. At least medical science has come to agree now. And so they have what they call idiopathic medicine. They don't know the answer to those things. So they are unknown. But we can go through the scriptures to tell you the unknown. The unknown is demon walking behind the scene, possessing creature to destroy creature. So sickness arises because spirits have no bodies. So they are looking for host. And when they look for host, the moment they find host, they leave out their character. Part of their character is what you call sickness. So if a spirit possesses a miniature being, like a fly, a virus, a mosquito, when it touches you, it will transfer the nature of that spirit. That transference of reality is what you call a sickness. And then when it possesses a man, it can destroy that man, like the madman of Gadara. That is a technology. But the reason all of that happened is because they lost their glory. They entered a kind of knowledge called rebellion. And that rebellion stripped them of glory. So some of them became disembodied. Some of them became naked. They have bodies, but they are naked. So they are looking for honor back. That's why they are seeking territories. So you have principalities and powers looking for territory so that by all means, they will get honor now that they possess a territory. And those who are disembodied are looking for men, animals, or miniature beings to find a host in. And because of their rebellious nature, the moment they find a host, they begin to create destruction. And part of that destruction is called sickness. That's why when you cast out demons, people are healed. Are we together? But I said that to let you know that the excellency of knowledge is the fact that knowledge brings life. Knowledge brings authority. And knowledge brings glory. The moment you receive Christ, the Bible called it a knowledge. He said, this is life eternal, that you may know him. That knowledge is what restores you back to glory. That knowledge is what restored you back to authority. And that knowledge is what created access for you in dealing with God. So if God is telling us that he is going to bring us knowledge in this season, what it means is that God wants to increase the glory that we carry. God is not trying to increase our bank of information. He's actually trying to increase the glory. Because as you enter transfiguration, you will discover that glory is excelling. It's called from glory to glory. It's called from grace to grace. It doesn't have a limit. So when God is bringing you into knowledge, he's actually carrying you from one level of glory to another. And there is a level of glory you enter that you don't need to beg. There's a level of glory you enter that you don't need to struggle. That glory in itself becomes a defense. Now, when Adam was in Eden, Adam lacked nothing because of the glory he carried. The animals submitted to him. Nature submitted to him. Because glory bequeaths you authority over nature and the systems of this world. There's a level of authority you have that you don't need to struggle like others. And so if God is bringing us into deeper knowledge, it means he's bringing us into higher realms of glory. He's bringing us into higher realms of authority, and he's also bringing us into higher realms of access. Oh, if your authority level changes, you will know by the things that happen around you. There's an authority level you get to. They will quickly advise every demon not to come close. This is a danger zone. Immediately, they will just know that if they come here, the casualty in the demonic realm will be much. So instead of wasting demonic arsenals here, go somewhere else. That's why you find some people telling you they are not lying. They tell you the devil doesn't exist. They are talking from the authority level. That's not doctrine. That is realm. If he's teaching in Bible school or teaching newcomers, new converts, he can teach them demonology. But when he enters the realm where princes sit far above principalities and powers, if he said the devil doesn't exist, it's correct. Because where he is far above principalities and powers. But it will take some kind of knowledge to come there. There's a level of glory some people are, and they tell you, they don't know the exchange rate. As far as they are concerned, they will always have more than enough. You will look at them and say, what do you mean? Are you not in this country? They are not. You are the one in the country. They are not. They are living from heaven's resource. Because of glory, they have translated. You know, the problem believers have is that they think we are all the same. We are not the same. I was teaching them in the church on Sunday. I told them, some men are so relevant that after they live their lifetime, God tells them, come back to earth. Earth needs you. Elijah lived 4 times. Elijah finished his lifetime. Instead of dying, because he said he's appointed unto man to die once, God said, no, you can't die. If you die, the earth is in trouble. God carried Elijah to heaven, kept him. And then when Jesus was about to come, nobody had the stature of Elijah. It will take that kind of stature to open the spirit realm for Jesus to come. The spirit of Elijah had to come into John. And John began to cry in the wilderness, make a straight path for the Lord. Because it's Elijah's spirit that constructs a highway from heaven to earth. And Jesus will come. And then, as if that is not enough, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, they will still need the services of Elijah. And Elijah will still come to the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible said they were telling Jesus what he will do in Jerusalem. As if that is not enough, he said 2 witnesses are coming. Elijah is still one of them. You see, relevance, relevance. While somebody is praying to God to have a long lifespan, another person is tired of living. God says, you can't go nowhere. When Moses died, after all, he actually didn't die. Because what he knew made it impossible for him to die naturally. God killed him. And when God killed Moses, he killed him in hiding. Because if you kill him publicly, you will expose some secrets to princes. When Moses was killed, the Bible said instantly, the devil came to collect his body. Perhaps if we take this body to the museum in heaven, in Hades, there are some things we will discover here, because this man is a spiritual island. And quickly God mobilized Michael to go and fight for the dead body of a man. That means some people's dead body is more important than some people's living body. Why we are alive here telling God, Lord, please help me. Somebody is dead. He is not praying. And it's not any angel that was mobilized. An archangel in the order of Michael came to fight. Where did they take this body to? The dead, nobody knows. But when Jesus was about to go to the cross, they needed elders. And they went and awakened Moses. And Moses stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses was educating Jesus. Because this particular Jesus is a man. He needs the Holy Ghost to teach him. And one of the ways the Holy Ghost taught him was through Moses and Elijah. Because the Bible said they told him what he should do in Jerusalem. Men who became immortals because of the kind of knowledge they had. They had authority with God. Did you not read? God was speaking in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1. He said, even if you call Moses and Samuel to pray, I won't answer. That means, in the technology of priesthood, don't let Moses and Samuel pray. If they pray, God must answer. So God was giving a disclaimer. Even if you invoke Moses and Samuel on this matter, I will not answer. It's the level of authority they wield with God. But all of that is a product of knowledge. What it therefore means is that the quality of life you will live is dependent on the quality of knowledge that you have. What it also means is that your destiny is not in any man's hand. Your destiny is at the mercy of your understanding. So if you want to improve the quality of your destiny, what you need is to improve the quality of your understanding. That's why the Bible says, buy the truth. Sell it not. It says, he has given us all things that pertain to life and destiny. He said, but it is through what? The knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So when you see people walking, their experiences in life is the revelation of their spiritual understanding. That's why you don't have to envy anybody. And that's why when you pity people, you are not helping them. I was telling them in Ghana last week, I told them, everybody you see carries different dimensions and different versions of himself. The one manifesting now is the level of understanding he has. One man can be a system, and that same man can be a beggar in two different versions. There's a level of understanding that will make him a beggar. There's another understanding that will make him a system. So if you want to help that man, pressure him to get the knowledge that activates the systemic dimension of him. If you give him $10, you didn't help him. In fact, that man's dimension of royalty will be angry with the man for begging. That's why sometimes when you ask for help, you feel bad. It's not pride. There is another version of you that is a giver. There's another version of you that is a king. But that version of you is at the mercy of a knowledge. And so that version of you is angry with this you who is a beggar. Because what you should be looking for is not money, it's knowledge. And so he's offended with you that instead of seeking knowledge, you are seeking money. Yeah. 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 You know, 4 days ago, somebody who was a Senate president looked for my number and was trying to reach me. He said, I need to have an appointment. I want to see you. That's a third in command in this country. When I saw that message, I almost wept. I told myself, why don't I know what I know now 10 years ago? Because if I know what I know now 10 years ago, my meeting him would have been more strategic. May you not enter your breakthrough when it has expired. The president of this country can look for you. You sitting here, you. But there's a knowledge you must have for him to find you. He said, kings. He said, the Gentiles will come to your light. He said, but kings will come to the brightness of your eyes. So if you want kings to come to you, don't invite them. Get the bright light. The bright light will become an invitation. If you invite them, you have reproach. Knowledge is authority. Knowledge is glory. Knowledge is access. So let's enter the reason for the teaching. How do you access knowledge? I will just list them. I'll give you 5. Oh Lord, we give you praise from my heart. We bless your name. You are worthy of my praise. And to you, the song we raise. Oh Lord, we give you praise.
Lord, we give you praise.
From my heart. You are worthy of our praise, and to you
the song we raise.
Yeah. Lord, we give you praise.
Yeah.
From our heart we bless your name.
Elders in Agbo invited me.
Huh? It was me and Victor that went for that meeting. When we entered the land, the moment we were landing, I saw a convoy come to pick us. They drove us to the hotel. As we came down, the protocol that followed were like 10 persons. Marched like military men, took us to the biggest hotel in the city. Before I knew, they were serving us like kings. As I got ready, before I came down, the cars were already packed. People were rushing all over. There was coordinated chaos. Carried me in the car, drove to the church. We dropped at the road, at the third road. The red carpet was from the church to the third road. Don't touch the ground. Step on the rug. As I was walking on the rug, coincidentally, the street where that church was the same street where 10 years ago as a youth copper, I was left with 200 naira praying to have enough money to move from Agbo to Asaba. I just said, what if time was withdrawn? That means the difference was the knowledge acquired over time. What it means is that you can't be stranded. You. The reason you are stranded now is because of the knowledge gap. Myself and the winner just landed Ghana last week. The moment we landed, 5 SUVs, black, were parked with a motorcade. As I landed, they picked me straight from the plane to the VIP. I sat down, crossed my leg. They were stamping my passport, doing everything. When they finished, they said, "Sir, please." We walked out. The cars were already on like 30 minutes before I came. And we were moving with a motorcade. They were shutting down traffic, stopping vehicles on high road, highway in another country. Highway, they were shutting vehicles. Shut down, shut. Ah. The pursuit is not those things. That's vanity. God will allow such to honor you. But do you know that a few years ago, going to Ghana would have been a prayer point? If you know the excellency, if you knew the excellency of knowledge, you will pursue it with everything that is in you. Your glory is tied to it. Your authority is tied to it. Your access is tied to it. I can't finish telling you. I was to go to Botswana. The moment they sent my name to the immigration, the minister of immigration said, "Apostle Mike," they approved it immediately. No protocol. Every protocol stands still. I want to meet him when he comes. The moment you get knowledge, your age becomes irrelevant. Your skin color becomes irrelevant. And that's why people who are not wise, they are judging people based on age. They will look at somebody and say, "He's proud," because they think you are age mate. Pursue knowledge. See, pursue knowledge. In all thy getting, the Bible said, get understanding. Too many people are bankrupt of knowledge. Bankrupt. Please sit down. I don't want to charge my spirit. Let me just keep it calm. How do you acquire spiritual knowledge? I'll give you 5. I went to a place to preach. A place we went to 3 years before. And we were struggling for venue. Knowledge increased. I came back. They received me in the king's palace. The king wouldn't let me go. He called his wife to talk to me. He was excited to have me. When I wanted to leave, a king gave me a seat. The same place we entered few years before, that we were struggling to have a small space to have a meeting. Meanwhile, we have not started. There is a version of you, that the president will book appointment with. But there is a knowledge that commands that authority. And so don't allow anything waste your life. Distraction. Things that don't add to your destiny. Why do you think demons are on overtime duty? To distract and waste your time. Because they know time is the unit of procuring knowledge. They know. And so when a man becomes wise, one of his greatest pursuits is the knowledge of the holy. The Bible said in Job 28 verse 28, it said, "The fear of the Lord," he said, "this is wisdom." He said, "The knowledge of the holy," he said, "this is understanding." When you get it, you'll be shocked how food was not your problem. You'll be shocked how money was not your problem. You'll be shocked how the things you called your problem were not your problem. Only that those things were designed to respond to your knowledge. There's an amount of money that will respond to your knowledge. I was sharing the other day with Kai. Knowledge. Knowledge is excellent. We will travel for 14 hours. Go for a meeting. teach with sweat. When you finish, they will now give you 30,000 naira. You will thank your God and go home. And then, as knowledge increased, they will invite you for a meeting. They will be apologizing. Ah, God. Get knowledge. I beg you, get knowledge. These things I want to share now, hear them and hear them well. It will change your life forever. I realized that with knowledge, what you can do for 2 hours can be more important than what you will do for 1 year without knowledge. I will go to a place and labor for 2 hours. I will come out with what I couldn't save for 1 year. 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I now realize what makes people get ahead in life is not labor. It's labor with understanding. How can suddenly your life is so compressed that 2 hours of your life is more important than 1 year of your life in the past? If you know that, then you will hasten your way through understanding. There was a time when I will save for a whole year, and what I will save will not even be enough to pay for house rent. For 1 year. But when knowledge comes, you throw into a place casually. Maybe you were even tired when you entered, and you just labored from the place of authority and rest. And what will come out, if it's that type of house that you were in, which you are no longer in, you can pay for 30 of it for 5 years. What is the difference? Knowledge. You say, buy the truth. Sell it not. Was it last month I was supposed to go for a meeting with Pastor Sonny? The money they wanted to use to book flight for me and my team is more than the whole honorarium I received in 1 year, 4 years ago. I said, no, please, don't worry. This place is not far. I think it was just. I said, no, we'll come by road. Just is 4 hours, please. Give it to an orphanage. From here to Jos, they booked flight alone was about ₦1 million for me and my team. I said, no, we'll come by road. It's 3 hours. And we drive a good car. We'll come by road. Eventually, I had to enter a taxi to go there. I said, no, that way, give orphanage. How do you get knowledge? Number one, you get knowledge by asking or prayerfully studying. The reason I put prayerfully studying is because these kinds of knowledge are furnished by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so this knowledge, you don't break upon it just because you read a book. While you are reading, a spirit will open your understanding. So you read prayerfully to access this kind of knowledge. Either you ask or you prayerfully study. If it is knowledge you are looking for. In Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, here's what Paul said. Ephesians 1, 17. He said, is that where I started from? Okay, go to verse 16. I want to get that question. Go to verse 15. This is Paul teaching the church how you come about spiritual knowledge. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, he said, cease not to give thanks to you for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For what?
Verse 17.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the way you come into that knowledge is by prayer. The spirit of wisdom, because if the spirit of wisdom and revelation is not working, you will read all the books in the world, you will not have knowledge. The word wisdom is the word Sophia. That is the ability to contemplate and to explain the secrets that undergirds a reality. And revelation is apocalypsis. It means to open up. Because if it doesn't open, the letters will be there, but the reality will be veiled. And so he said, while you are reading, it's the spirit that brings access to interpretation of the dynamics of a reality. And the spirit that opens up, that will bring you to knowledge. So it is from Sophia to apocalypsis that you come into epignosis. And it is prayer that activates Sophia and apocalypsis. So if you don't pray, you will read, but Sophia and apocalypsis will not be at work. And he said, when knowledge comes, he said something else will have happened. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word is fortizo. Fortizo means light is shed upon. This can be a room. This room has the potential of creating shelter. But if that door is not open, you can never access the room. So wisdom brings you to the door. Apocalypsis opens the door to you. Then you come in. That is knowledge. But you can also come in and there will be no light. So you will hit on this stage and fall down. This chair that you are sitting on, it takes light for you to be able to sit on it. If there's no light there, you will hit the chair and you'll be injured. And so he said, even when you come into knowledge, there's a technology called fortizo. He said, fortizo enlightens you. So you can know exactly what knowledge to apply for what circumstance. He said, when that happens, three things open up. Number one, he said that you may know the hope of your calling. There is a hope tied to what you are doing. Number two, he said that you may know the exceeding riches that is allocated to the believer. There is a wealth available to us. But it will take knowledge for us to access it. And finally, he said that you will know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. The word is megatos. That is power upon power. That is available to the believer. And so there is a hope, there is a riches, and there is a power. And that power, the only thing Paul compelled it with was the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And that is the highest power there is on the face of the earth. He said, but it takes knowledge to access that kind of power. And that knowledge is prayer that engenders it. There are many persons today, the reason they remain in their brain is because they didn't add prayer to their study enterprise. They've never asked God. Same prayer Paul prayed for the church in Colossae. In Colossians 1 verse 9. This guy is a spiritual technocrat. The level of depth and understanding he commands in the spirit is uncommon. He doesn't just know what. He knows wow, how. And the man who knows how is superior to the man who knows what. So Paul can tell you how to access something. He doesn't tell you what is. He tells you how to access what is. And this is one of the ways. He said, for this cause also, since the day we heard of your faith, he said, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It takes prayer to come into spiritual understanding. That one is not book that gives you. That's why there are many theologians that know nothing about the kingdom. And James told us in James 1:5, he said, if anyone lacks wisdom, if anyone lacks functional knowledge, he said, let him ask of him that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. There is a liberality with which God is willing to give us knowledge, but we have to ask, and ask earnestly, sincerely, and deliberately.
For he said, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The first gateway to knowledge is by asking. You have not asked before because you think what you know is enough. But I came to tell you that you are not only dealing with men. If you are dealing with men, you can bring the credential of your certificate and experience. You are dealing with spirits. And when spirits are involved, your credential and your experience will count for nothing. Number two, I'm giving you superior prayer point from tonight. And so some of you may need to stop telling God, please give me money. You need to start telling God, give me wisdom. You need to start telling God, give me knowledge and understanding. That's the wisdom of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, from verse 4 to verse 12, when God, he gave an offering of 1,000 burnt cattle to God, and God came to him, he said, what do you want? He said, give me wisdom and understanding to be able to govern these people. And God said something. He said, because you have not asked for power, for money, and the life of your enemy. He said, what you have asked, I've given you, and in addition, because every time knowledge comes, every other thing is added. That's why I said, thou shalt know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Your problem is not money. Poverty has trained us to ask only for money. The day you start seeking wisdom and wisdom comes, money will be a byproduct. And the way to gain that knowledge is to consciously ask. And it's not a casual request. You see Colossians 1:9, Paul said that prayer is added with intense desire. Strong desire. Bishop Oedipo said he prayed for 2 years for wisdom. 2 years. It looked like foolishness. But today, he has more than 6,000 staff. They have built 2 universities from rest. They have 4 aircrafts. Others were asking for money. He was asking for wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing. He said, true knowledge is an house builded. He said, by understanding are all chambers filled with every good thing. People are asking for good things instead of asking for knowledge and understanding that brings every good thing. And that's why they keep having enough to eat. But the man who wants to be a captain, he knows what to pray for. And what he prays for is spiritual understanding. In this month, God will bless us with spiritual knowledge. Number two, how do you access spiritual knowledge? By service and stewardship. Many people think they will be so blessed just by coming to church, sit down and listen. That's the lowest level of blessing in the house of God. If you really want to be blessed in the house of God, when you come to the house of God, you look for something to do. Ask those who serve, they will tell you. And if I had time, I will show you from Genesis to Revelation. Nobody who was superlatively blessed in the house of God did not commit his hand to it. Because mysteries, secrets, and knowledge are committed to those who are actively involved in engaging in the things of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, we are servants of God. He said, therefore, he didn't say we prayed for knowledge. He didn't say we prayed for mystery. He said, because we are servants of God, he said, automatically, we become stewards of the mysteries of Christ. When a man begins to serve, one of the ways God blesses that man is to give him knowledge that makes him become a commander in his life. This is why sometimes we encourage people to participate. Because the truth is, even if you don't participate, the work will be done. But if you participate, it's for your own good. In fact, you cannot grow in the things of God if you are not a co-laborer with God. Because there's a level where words can't teach you beyond. There's a level of knowledge that you learn as you are on duty, as you are in line of duty. And so it is deception
for people just to want to sit in the house of God and not be engaged. If you want to really gain knowledge, you will do something in God's house. In fact, if nothing is assigned or apportioned to you, you will tell them you want to do something. And in case they don't find what you should do, you'll tell them what you can do. And as much as you have the opportunity, you get yourself doing it. That's how you grow in the kingdom. This is not to make you a jack of all trades. You don't have to be committed everywhere and not to be effective. But at least one place that your heart is, make sure you are doing something. Because there is a knowledge that is given to you as a reward for your service in God's kingdom. God doesn't throw his secrets at strangers. You stroll to church and go back. He can bless you. He can give you a car. He can give you a breakthrough. He can give you health. But the secrets of the kingdom, no. It's too honorable for a man who is not committed. He said, we are servants of God. He said, therefore, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. I learned this early. And oh, what a blessing. That a man knows the honor of service. In fact, one of the most potent bases for promotion in the kingdom is service. He said, if you are not faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. So what God judges to verify whether you qualify for promotion is your faithfulness in what you are doing. Now, if you have nothing you are doing, how can faithfulness even become a reality with which you'll be judged by? The reason you find many believers never growing in the things of the Spirit is because they are never involved. You can have 10 textbooks from note. If you are not doing something, you can't have experiential knowledge. I give you a story quickly. We were commanded to go back to foundation school to learn the basics. I was already a foundation school teacher. And I was like, what is Pastor Chris thinking? We obey. And we went back to foundation school. Everything they were teaching, if you start with, yes, we complete all the scriptures. Anyone you don't add, we add it in our note. In fact, if you are talking in a direction, you give two scriptural references, we add four. If you start talking new creation, we draw the outline before you finish and we are attaching the scripture. In fact, sometimes we want the younger students to see our note. So you are writing. Ah, the teacher spoke for 5 minutes. You have written one page. What did he say? So much pride in knowledge we're writing. When we now graduated, on the day of graduation, they now started giving awards. They called highest soul winner. Number one, number two, number three. I was not there. I'd invited my whole family to come and see the star. In fact, when we were walking into the graduation, I was the last person on the line. Walking like Reverend Chris. My hair was well permed. And I sat down behind in an honorable way as a spiritual man. I invited my family members. People I prayed for who were healed, they all came to church. When they called all of that, those days we were not just going to the street to win souls. On Saturday, we would buy football with our money, take it to a football pitch, dash them the ball, preach to them, arrange buses to bring them to church. You are counting soul winners. You didn't count me. Did I waste all this money? No problem. We sat down. They say, highest partnership for ministry material. At least I know that I gave money for Bibles to be sent to India. I know I gave money for inner city mission. I know I gave money for healing school. They called number three, number two. When they almost said one, I almost stood up. Number one, my name was not called. That was when sweat started coming. I didn't know there were pores here to generate sweat. Strange sweat started coming out. I noticed that a vein appeared here. After some seconds, headache, a migraine began. Ah! What's going on here? I now noticed that, why did I sit on the last row? At least people will notice I'm here. I now started wishing I hid in the middle. I was exposed at the back. Everybody was seeing. We thought this guy knows so much. He used to be claiming he knows so much. How come people are dusting him off? And if you say pride, my second name is pride. It's now that God started helping me small, small. Hey! They finished. They now said, okay, now for the academic performance. They called third. They called second. They called first. I say, what? Does that mean I failed the exam? I almost revolted. Ah! This is fraud. I was angry. Every other thing they did in the service, I didn't hear anyone. The moment service finished, my eyes were red. I stood up, dropped my academic gown. The academic gown became a reproach. I dropped it. I went, was raking. That was when my branch pastor was running and coming. What happened? He forgot to submit our result. That was the day I would have stabbed somebody to death. He said, see the result. He forgot in the pocket. He was mobilizing bosses. You were mobbing what? Do you know how much I spent? Do you know the shame? That was when God told me, this is your exam. That one you wrote is your brain. This one is your exam. And if you talk again, you will fail. God now told me to empty my pocket as a seed to the pastor. Ah! When I removed the money, that's when tears came down. Tears. The tears just rolled down slowly. Say, you are a man of flesh. Your exam was against carnality, not intelligence. If I didn't participate, there's no way I would have known it. So there is a knowledge that is given to you only as you participate. Some of you think you are humble. By the time you stand there to give envelope, and a young boy comes and collects the envelope, I say, young man, what do you mean? Give me a good envelope. He will now remember that, wait, do you know I'm a barrister? This boy, are you in the university? Oh, by the time you are in the choir, somebody comes and cautions you. You will now say, wait, to come. Is it because I'm singing here? How old are you? You will not know the blockages of knowledge. It is in service that God will remove them. And so when God wants you to grow, he will insist that you partake and participate in service. I was a master's degree holder when God told me to go and support a friend of mine who was doing a campus ministry. I was already traveling to campuses, for God's sake. Both of us were pastors in the same ministry. When I came to join him, I was thinking that, oh, we are friends, and of course he knows what I carry. You don't know pride. He knows what I carry. What do you mean? The guy now heard me and said, and God was the one leading him because they date, we are brothers. He said, here they grow. Grow from what to what? Is it among these campus students I'm coming to grow? What is grow? From where to where? He now dragged me to the choir and said, this is the head of the choir. Join the choir. Ah! I will wear my double-breasted suit like Pastor Chris and come to the campus and stand at the gate. They will now say, stand at the door and give envelopes. The day we had a conference that the apostle was coming with the whole entourage, they now say, I should stand here. Ah! He now stood in front with our spiritual father and was coordinating the service, was updating him on some of the things that was happening. I stood in front like this. Sweat was coming down. Sweat. It was like a bucket of water. I will clean it. It will still come down. I will clean it. You can't break until you serve. And if you don't break, you can't have knowledge. People hear people say things and they think they read a book. Go and buy 10 books and start reading. God wants to dig into your heart to remove the fleshly tendency that makes it impossible for the waters of knowledge and inspiration to flow into your soul. He will carry you through the gate of service. they will offend you. He will build patience. He will build brokenness until your chambers open. That's when inspiration can become a river that flows through you. And when you stand, God has layers. He can flow. Navigations will be many. A service that imparts knowledge. He said, we are servants of God. Therefore, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. The third way to get spiritual knowledge is by fear and reverence for God. In Psalm 25 verse 14, he said, the secrets of God, they are with them that fear him. It's not with them that read. It's not with them that went to a Bible school. He said, he will show them his covenants. In Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job 28 verse 28, the fear of the Lord, this is knowledge. He said, reverence for God is understanding. We are a generation that needs to be taught again the fear of the Lord. Somebody wants to know about God. He's in church. He's chewing gum. He's exercising his gum. Meanwhile, if you sat before your governor, you won't chew gum and be talking to him. And then when they say pray, say, Father, thank you for this service today. Lord, help us. Help us. Meanwhile, when John went to heaven, he said in Revelation 5 from verse 1, when he was carried to heaven, he said, the destiny of the human race was in contention. They wanted to know the hope of humankind. And this was the time where custodians need to bring their testimony. And so Revelation chapter 5 verse 1, here was John's dialogue with two entities of Zion. He said, and I saw at the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He said, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And the first person he saw was a strong angel. Because knowledge is not about stature. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. He said, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? He said, no man was found worthy. That's the testimony of the angel. And John said, I wept much. But suddenly, he said, one of the elders showed up and said, weep not. That thing that the angel doesn't know is a past in the higher realms of Zion. He said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. The question now is, why would a strong angel not know something and another spirit in heaven knows it? It is when you study the reality of those spirits that you will discover two things were responsible. Number one is height. And number two is fear and reverence. These guys have 24 thrones. They don't sit on it. The Bible said they fall on their faces. They cast their crown and they say, holy is the Lord. Because of that level of honor and reverence, all the secrets of God are kept with them. And so when the psalmist was also granted access through prophetic intelligence, he now told us in Psalm 25 verse 14, he said, the secret of God is with them that fear him. So when you want to gain access to spiritual knowledge, your heart must tremble at God's presence. If you think God is somebody who can be casual around, then you are not ready for the hallowed matters of the kingdom. And God himself will resist you, because he said, don't cast holy things to swine. He said they will trample it underfoot. They don't know the value. And so the extent to which you revere God is the extent to which God can commit hallowed realities to you. So the third way to accessing spiritual knowledge is by fear. Fear for God. The fourth way to access spiritual knowledge is by humility, meekness, and brokenness. In Psalm 25 verse 9, he said, the meek shall he teach knowledge and judgment. God doesn't teach everybody. It is the meek that he teaches. A man who is meek is a man who generously esteems others above himself. A man who is broken is a man who generously subdues himself, subjects himself under authority. So both of them speak of the same character. And so when God wants to open you to secret, he's looking at, because the ability to handle the power that comes with knowledge will require brokenness. If you are not broken, that power can keep. There's a kind of knowledge you have. If you say rain shall fall, it will fall immediately. There's a kind of knowledge you have. If you look at somebody and you say you are finished, the person will die. If you like, gather all the new creation reality. There are realms that are superior to doctrine. No, I can't balance it, so let me leave it. I will go far. Because when, doctrine is tied to dispensation. But realities are beyond dispensation. A man can enter reality now and travel or traffic beyond different dispensations. In fact, he can collocate every dispensation and bring it to one realm. I was hearing the story. Umar Okpai was sharing. A young man came up and insulted him. And he looked at him and said, "You not use your tongue again." And they spoke, "Get out!" As the guy was crossing the road, a car that was carrying a bundle of glass dodged a bike, and the glass fell off. And the glass, when the guy fell on the ground, a glass cut his tongue. Now, that kind of power is not to victimize people. That's why God gives it to broken people. But those kinds of power, we need it in the body of Christ so that we can be invincible. If we still have men that have enough power among us, even the terrorists know they won't come. If you curse them, they are cursed. Did you not read about Paul? He went to speak to the proconsul, and a sorcerer came to defy what he was doing. And he said, "The hand of God is upon you. You will be blind for a season." The man went blind immediately. You can say, we are in the New Testament dispensation. God is not cursing people. God is not judging people. Well, Paul judged somebody, and he was judged immediately. And you say, okay, he's not a Christian. Ananias sold land and came to deceive Peter. And Peter said, "Why has Satan entered your heart?" Immediately he fell down and died. You now say, okay, no, it's the Holy Ghost. The wife came 3 hours later. He said, "The feet of them that carried your husband, they are the door." She fell down and died. When a man is broken, there is no measure of authority God will withdraw from him. But that authority will come as a kind of knowledge. There's a knowledge you can have now. You can remove somebody from office. You can command nature, it will obey. But it will take a lot of brokenness for that to happen. That's why spiritual knowledge is beyond reading. It says God resists the proud. James 4:7. It says, but he giveth more grace to the humble. But how do people grow in grace? 2 Peter 3:18. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. So when God wants to give you grace, he increases your knowledge. And so what God does for the humble is that he increases their knowledge. That knowledge is what gives them authority and glory. The fourth way to access knowledge is by brokenness. We are a proud generation. Don't try to show people that you are humble. The things your life command will show if you are humble or not. Because the proof of humility is not that you said it. It's the kind of authority God is willing to share with you that justifies your humility. The last gateway to knowledge is purity of heart. In Matthew 5:8, he said, "They that are pure in heart," he said, "they shall see God." When a man is pure in heart, what God does is that he opens him up to the chambers of life. Look at Proverbs 22:11. The excellency of knowledge. He said, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of the lips shall be his friend." When he talks, his tongue is like the pen of a reading writer. But the reason he accesses that level of erudition and spiritual intelligence is because the heart is pure. If your heart is not pure, you can't access the gate of knowledge. And if you don't access the gate of knowledge, you have no authority. You have no glory, and you have no access. So 5 ways to walk in knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is by 1, asking or prayerfully studying. 2, by serving or service or stewardship. 3 is by fear and reverence. Number four is by meekness, humility, or brokenness. And number five is by purity. Blessed is a man in whom these five credentials are available. And as we give ourselves to these things in this month, God will bring us into realms of knowledge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We cease not to pray for you, that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so in the name of Jesus, I pray for you tonight. Receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, when Ananias prayed for Paul, a scale fell off his eyes. And from that day, access was given to him to the Chronicles of Zion. I pray for you today. Every scale that has blocked you from stepping into spiritual understanding, they fall tonight. And in the name of Jesus the Lord, step into the excellency of knowledge and spiritual understanding. On account of knowledge, let the glory of God on your life increase. On account of knowledge, let the authority you access increase. And on account of knowledge, let honor and access be given to you. I bless you with knowledge. I bless you with access. I bless you with authority. And I bless you with increased glory. As you step out of this place, even the things happening around your life will change as an attestation that you have stepped into a new dimension. In the name of Jesus, let knowledge become your portion. So, let it be written, and so let it be established in Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.